This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Big show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Packer and Badger running back Gary Ellerson, as well as the inventor of the Lambeau Leap Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, Packer Hall of Famer, number 36, Leroy Butler with you as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios. GeneWagnerPlumbing.com for all of your plumbing needs. Again, our thanks to Brad Sellers for joining us there in the last half hour. Really, really good. If you missed it, if you want to go back and check that out. Mayor of Warrensville Heights, Ohio, of course, a former Badger and Buckeye college basketball player from back in the day. Played on those Bulls teams with Jordan and talked about the Last Dance documentary and so forth. Really, really good in the last half hour, so check that out. Joining us now, he is the president and CEO of your Green Bay Packers on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. He is Mark Murphy. Mark, thanks for coming on this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks.
First things first, I guess, because we haven't had a chance to talk to you since the draft and since this whole thing played out. You went through Aaron Rodgers and that transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, and now you guys make a pick with Aaron Rodgers towards the end of his career and take Jordan Love. Your thoughts on that selection by your team?
Yeah, no, I'm very supportive of it. Brian and I were in communication, and it's the reality is it's not only the most important position in football. I would argue it's the most important position in all of sports. And there's an old saying in the NFL that the best time to take a quarterback is when you don't need one. And we don't need one now. I mean, obviously Aaron's, still playing at a very high level. I guess I look at it. I give Brian credit. I think that he had the courage of his convictions, that he obviously thinks a lot of Jordan and thinks he could be a great player for us. And, he's not going to help us right away. But I think for the long term, it was it'll be a very good move, and it gives me look back, say what you want about Ted Thompson, the best thing he did was drafted Aaron Rodgers when he had Brett Favre, and hopefully we'll have a similar conversation 10 years from now about this pick.
Mark, what does, because everybody, I guess, is wondering what the landscape now with you guys look like, in the NFL, what it looks like now as far as getting this season started on time.
Yeah, Gary, that's the $64 million question. We're doing, first of all, compared to our professional sports, I think we're able to learn a lot from them. We're not like the Bucks, right in the middle of the season. And I got a little bit of an echo. But so we'll see. We're not going to make decisions. We're not going to set false deadlines. We're not going to not to make decisions until we have to. But right now the plan is to play 16 games and in front of fans.
Yeah, Mark, this is Leroy Butler. I want to go back to the Jordan Love.
Hey, I would say, Leroy, you should be in the Hall of Fame. You have my vote.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do, Mark. I wanted, because there was some reports that the team were as far as the head coach, he kind of mandated Gutekunst or wanted him to select Jordan Love. Was the head coach in on it as well, or was he informed? Because I think a lot of fans think that maybe you guys should have informed Aaron Rodgers, in fact, that you were going to select Jordan Love. But it had to be the three of you guys were on board with getting Jordan Love.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, there was communication beforehand that it was a possibility.
Yeah.
And Matt was very supportive of it. You know, I mean, I don't think you talk to players and ask them, should we do this or should we do that? I do think shortly after the pick, I know, and it made it a little difficult because we were in, a virtual situation. We weren't all in the war room at Lambeau Field, but I know Matt talked to Aaron shortly after the pick.
Did you have any conversation with Aaron afterwards, maybe, or up until? Because I think we heard his press conference like a week ago. Have you spoken with him about it? Because he seemed to be, he said it was surprised and it takes away the controllables in his way.
Yeah, I thought his press conference was great. I think he was very honest that it was a surprise, mm-hmm. but. I think he understands that, the organization, not only were, trying to win now, but also looking out for the long-term future of the organization.
You know, Mark, I also looked at long-term. We're talking OTAs and those type of situations and bringing players in. Are you guys meeting and talking about, like, how that's going to work for you guys? Is it 6 feet apart, or are we cleaning up the facilities? How does it all look for you guys right now to get ready for the season?
Well, I just had a league call talking a lot about those types of things. So much of it is still up in the air. We just opened up our facility on Tuesday. We're hoping to get coaches in the next week or so. And then we'll see on the players. But there's all kinds of medical protocols that we put in place. And, just for bringing our employees back in, checking temperatures as they walk in, hand sanitizer throughout the building, spacing out, just all different kinds of things. And then the hope would be at the end of the off-season program, we could have the players in for a short period of time.
Talking with Packers.
We have agreed with the Players Association, though, that the off-season program would end June 26th.
Oh, that's a big step. Yeah, talking with Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy here on the Wendy's Big Show.
One of the things I advocate, I was going to ask you about testing. How available have the state of Wisconsin, the government, or however, are they going to give you enough test kits for your players just to find out if one of these guys, either test positive or negative or however? Because once they leave and go back to their families for a month, they got to come back. So have they made testing available, or that's kind of getting ahead of it?
Testing is crucial, and we need to really, and it's not just the NFL or professional football society. We need to dramatically increase in the testing capacity. I guess in Green Bay, we were lacking in testing, but with the outbreaks in the outbreak in the meatpacking plants more recently, that there's been quite a bit more testing here. So I think that's been positive. That'll be obviously the key. Will be, I think, long term would be finding a vaccine, but in the shorter term, having testing, ample testing available to be able to identify people who test positive and then isolate them.
Have you upgraded your medical staff, or are you just going to keep the medical staff that you normally have and trainers because I can possibly see maybe updating that, adding a few more people available just for that area. Has that something you guys maybe talked about?
We haven't. I know the league has been really helpful. We've actually put together an infection response team, including, our physicians and, the other thing the league has done is worked with Duke University's, it's called DICON. I think it's Duke University's Infection Control Network. So we have expertise in it. And then each team has been required to identify an infection control officer. So we have a lot of people looking at it. And I feel confident in our physicians and that they have the expertise we need, and that if they don't have it, they know where to go and to be able to talk to people that have expertise on some of these issues.
Mark, when you look around the rest of the professional sports landscape right now, the NHL is trying to figure out how to get themselves back. They seem to be the closest. The NBA, according to reports, is talking about having all their teams or a portion of their teams and players all in a hub in Orlando, trying to figure out how to finish their season and get into the playoffs to have a champion there. Major League Baseball seems to be the furthest away with some bickering going on between the Players Association and the owners. And then here is the National Football League acting like, to a certain degree, business as usual. I haven't heard anybody talking about, well, you know, preseason may get off to a little bit slower of a start, or kickoff may be later. You guys are really the ones, I'm not going to say unaffected, because you are affected, obviously, to a certain degree with how everything has played off this offseason. But with this pandemic break in the spring versus in the fall, you guys really are probably in the best situation of the big pro sports leagues.
No, I agree with you. It's we have time. We still have almost 4 months. Until the start of the regular season, and I think we can learn from these other sports, and it's not just sports here. Looking at some of the things that have happened internationally, but I think in these times, you've got to be flexible, and things. It reminds me a little bit, Leroy. This was before your time, but in 1982, and when we had the strike, and right away.
That's when you and I played, Mark. That was during my time.
7 days, and the season's done. We're not going to be able to salvage a season, and ended up kind of piecing together a season, and. Now, I have very fond memories of it because we won the Super Bowl that year. the Redskins. But we ended up, we ended up playing 9 games total, and then we expanded the playoffs to 16, and they called a Super Bowl tournament. And I know the league's looking at all different contingencies and options, and but we're not going to implement them until we have to. And at this point, we're planning to play a full season and in front of fans.
We were talking about this in the first hour of the show, this thing going on in Major League Baseball about players wanting to see the books from the owners before they agree to take what essentially would be their second pay cut in all of this. And then Scott Boras, a player agent, emailing out and saying what they would see if they were to open the books. Is there a winner in any of this if the owners were to say, okay, fine, we'll open our books, come look at them? I just don't see how anybody wins in this deal. Fans, because they're going to find out stuff that they probably don't know, that they probably won't be very happy with, I'm guessing. The players are going to find out stuff one way or the other. The owners probably won't look that well either. I just don't see any league having their owners open up the books to the Players Association in that sport.
Well, our books are already open to our players.
Yeah, for Green Bay, right.
That's
yes,
right.
Correct. Yes, that's true.
That's right. Yes.
But really, as a league, because of our revenue sharing model, and I think it's what has made the league so competitive and balanced is, the players get a percentage of the revenue, and so we have a combined interest in generating additional revenue because everybody benefits. I would say, a couple things. We're very fortunate we got our collective bargaining agreement done before this all hit. That would be really difficult to be dealing with negotiating a brand new collective bargaining agreement while we're in the middle of a pandemic. But I think, you know, we got a deal done with the Players Association, and now we're working with the Players Association on so many different things. And I think it's been very positive that we're working well together. And, you know, in terms of what the season's going to look like, how much revenue generated, I think we have a joint interest in that both the players and management want to see the season played. And so I think we will be able to come together and work things out.
You know, Mark, I think initially, too, you talked a little bit about you guys are doing a little bit more renovations up in Green Bay. Does this halt your plans on doing things that you'd like to get done up in Green Bay as far as adding on to the stadium, parking structures of that nature?
That's a great question, Gary. We have a number of different things that we're planning this offseason. Fortunately, construction and construction workers were considered essential. So we've been able to go through with a number of our construction projects, nothing major in terms of the stadium, but we're renovating our concourses. And, of course, in Titletown, we have a number of construction projects going on there as well. So those are continuing. You know, in terms of long-term, we'll see. I mean, you know, it depends how the season plays out. You know, hopefully, there's the old saying, hope is not a strategy. So I have to be careful not to keep saying, well, hopefully we'll be able to do this. But we'll see. If we're able to play a fairly normal season, I think that will not affect us financially. The other thing, and I think both of you probably know this, I mean, we're very fortunate. We don't have a rich, deep-pocketed owner, but in place of that, we've set up, we call it a corporate reserve fund. Mm-hmm. That's about $400 million now, and so it's for situations like this where there's either a strike and we miss a season or there's some catastrophe. This will allow the Packers to weather the storm, so to speak.
And Mark, thank you for the organization donating a lot of money to COVID-19, especially in the Milwaukee area. They've been hit very hard and pretty much across the state. But thank you for that. My question is, what about the Packers? Does this pandemic jeopardize maybe playing overseas? I mean, in Canada, I mean, in London, or in the future? I mean,
that was pretty big. First of all, we're the only team that has not played an international game or hasn't played in London. And there were five games scheduled, international games this year, four in London in two different stadiums, and then the Mexico City game. And all of those have been canceled. They'll all be played in the United States. Yeah. And it just, you know, I think it's just too big of a risk. During this time to play international games.
Talking with Mark Murphy, President and CEO of your Green Bay Packers, here on the Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Some rule changes coming down today, Mark, as well for the NFL coming up to the next year. If you don't mind touching on a couple of those that have come up. First, sure. I guess we'll start with the Eagles. Yeah, they're already out publicly.
Yep.
I guess. Yeah.
All right.
So not leaking anything.
The Eagles' proposal for expanding the instant replay was one that I honestly didn't think would pass, but it did pass. You want to explain what that new rule is about?
Well, it's really just because the instant replay we passed last year was for 1 year only, and this was a part of it. And it's fairly minor. It's just automatic review on certain plays, including tries after point. So if you go for two or if there's a penalty. So it's a fairly minor, and that wasn't controversial at all.
The other one, increasing the number of players that may be designated to return from two to three.
There's a lot of support for that. Gives teams a little more flexibility.
And there's a couple other rules as well, including expansive defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner, who's in possession of the ball but who has not had time to avoid or ward off the impending contact of an opponent. Gary and Leroy, I think, were both in favor of that last week when we talked about that being a possibility coming up. Also prevents teams from manipulating the game clock by committing multiple dead ball fouls while the clock is running. Another one that's approved. One that did not get approved is the one that everybody was talking about leading up to this thing, and that was the 4th and 15 concept instead of the onside kick. How did that play out?
Yeah, that was the one we had a lot of discussion on that. I'm in support of it. I think it's... what it really goes back to is 2 years ago, and it was a smart move. It was to make the kickoff, which is has been by far the most dangerous play in football, to make the kickoff safer. So I mean, basically, you had to be spread out evenly across the field, no running start, and the result of that is that it's a lot more difficult to recover onside kicks. I think it basically went from 16% recovery rate to less than 10 or around 10. And, I think it's important in terms of keeping fans interested in the game, television ratings. And I thought the proposal had merit. And I think it still does long term. There were some issues that came up on the call that I think can be addressed. And so it's going to go back to the competition committee, and we'll discuss maybe some changes we can make to it to make it more acceptable to those that voted against it.
Mark, one last thing. Did you watch the Last Dance documentary at all? What did you make of it?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I loved it.
So,
it wasn't during that time period, but I lived in the Chicago area for 5 years and knew about Michael Jordan and his legacy, and I thought it was really well done. It was fascinating.
Now, we've talked about what would be the next documentary you'd want to make, and there are some people that think the Brett Favre-Aaron Rodgers saga there would be an unbelievable documentary, Mark.
I don't know. I lived through that. I don't know if I want to.
That would be a tough deal for sure, no doubt. Mark, thanks so much for coming on, bud.
All right, Mark. Take care.
There Thank he is. You. President and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, Mark Murphy, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrown your home? Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. It doesn't sound like that's going to happen, Gary.
No,
he didn't see.
I don't think I want to see that.
No, I don't think he wants to go through that again. No,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
But the one thing, if you've been to the Jewelry Center, you definitely want to go back there again, Gary.
No, you really do, guys. And they've got new hours. They're open. They're ready to do it. They're ready to serve you up, guys. And their regular store hours, they resume immediately, guys. They're open and they're able to welcome you in their stores right now to shop. And the full service repair center is ready for all your jewelry and watch repair needs. The Jewelry Center hours, guys, are Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Their Burlington location closes at 5:30 weekdays and at 2 p.m. on Saturdays. Learn more about us, our three locations, the brands we carry, and our full service repair department at shoptjc.com.
All right, we'll talk about some of what we just heard from Packers president and CEO Mark Murphy coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Our thanks to Mark Murphy, president and CEO of the Green Bay Packers, for joining us here on the Wendy's Big Show for almost 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and Leroy Butler will get the latest in the COVID-19 pandemic coming up in a few minutes from CBS News. I guess first, Gary, I guess I was a little bit surprised, maybe not as much, but a little bit surprised that he said he is okay with getting rid of the onside kick and going to the 4th and 15 decision.
Well, I mean, they all talked about it together. I mean, so they're in the room together. So obviously that was to convey, the feeling, the majority feeling of everybody's in the room. So, I mean, I think he's going to go with that.
But it wasn't the majority because they didn't vote it in. He was part of the minority. That rule got tabled. That never happened.
Yeah. So it's just for me, when you look at that particular rule, I think they're doing a lot of changes, Steve. You and I talked about this, and it's for one, if you look at the onside, right, it's a dangerous play, right? Guys are going in there. Well, they used to spear one another. I don't think they do that anymore. But still, I think it's what they're trying to do to prevent injury. Just like when they did the kickoff return, you no longer had the wedge breakers anymore. You couldn't form that up, and guys would just run in there and just get killed. So they're taking. So they try and take some of those plays out of the game where you're going to get concussed.
I think that's one way to look at it. I'll give you the way I look at it. I think they're trying. I think they're trying to
done that first.
I think they're trying to do it that the way they did with the extra point. It's become such an automatic play that the other team recovers like almost every time. The numbers are so high that they want a more exciting play than that. And so obviously the safety.
If it's done right, it's a very exciting play.
Yeah, the safety part of it obviously comes in, but the extra point by moving it back, the hope was that now more people would stick around to see the extra point, thinking that maybe they'd get more extra points, which is what they were wanting out of it, and more people going for two if that extra point became too difficult. It's not to that point yet, so maybe they'll move it back again at some point. I don't know, but that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get people to have more drama. Or have more drama in the sport when they're watching it. And I'm sorry, 4th and 15, I don't want to bring up 4th and 26, but I mean, those type of plays are huge, huge plays, especially if you limit them to only teams that are trailing by so many points that can actually use them. So if you're up, you can't do that play to try and keep the ball and never give the ball back. You can only get it if chasing. That's how the rule was laid out there to begin with. I think it brings more drama to it. Leroy, your thoughts on that rule getting tabled?
This is not the XFL, man. Some of this stuff is just head-scratcher stuff.
The game's going to change, Leroy. I mean, that's just part of it.
It doesn't have to, though. That's the reason why they meet. It doesn't have to based on, the drama of it. It's supposed to be NFL, the best team, or it's going to win, or it's going to be an upset. Get a better kicker. You can move the kicker all the way back, but if your kicker sucks, you're going to miss it anyhow. Most good kickers are going to make these kicks. But to me, I just don't – every time they say rule changes, I just cringe. Because after a while, it's just going to get – it is going to be XFL type, which folded, by the way. People are not going to be interested in that. The real football people want to see football, not more rules and more – things that are kind of like, okay, now we got to stop the game and explain it to everybody and go to another guy that they probably watching cameras to figure out what are the rules. Because the referees, they're not going to remember all this stuff because it moves too fast. So it's just a head scratcher to me every year they go through this and they just keep adding on more rules. And all it is either to score more points.
Yes.
Not safety.
Correct.
Not safety.
Agreed.
Forget about safety. It's to score more points and to make the game more of what Kansas City is. The fastest team is going to win. The slower teams, you're at a disadvantage. So you're going to have to change your roster or change pretty much how you do things. So they're trying to put in some rules to help the slower teams catch up. I just don't agree with all that.
I think across the board in the last – I don't know what you and Gary think about this, Leroy, but I think in the last 10 years or so, maybe a little bit longer than that, rules have been changing in all sports, trying to figure out how to provide more offense, how to get games to go quicker, and trying to help, I'm not going to say younger generation, but probably, 40s on down, somewhere in that area, people that, don't want to sit there and be bored out of their mind. They want drama. They want instant gratification. And these sports leagues are trying to figure out how to give that to them so they continue to watch. I mean, we hear all the time that, the NBA is not as good as college basketball. The NBA isn't how it used to be when Kareem was playing and McLaughlin and all of that. They've screwed this game up with all the rule changes and everything else. And I think as a lot of people get older and rules change in whatever sports they like, they get upset because it's not the way it was when they were growing up and watching or wasn't the way that it was when they were playing. Meanwhile, the younger generation is going, man, this is a great rule change. Now there's even more offense than there was before. And that's what these, I think, Gary, what these executives are trying to do. They're trying to, bow down to the younger generation, those that are in their 20s and 30s, and trying to hold them through like they've held previous generations through.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't disagree with that.
That's what it seems like. All right, let's get the latest on the COVID-19 pandemic from CBS News. In about 15 minutes from right now, we'll talk with Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic. He'll be coming up, his piece on A.J. Dillon and some of the comparisons that people made in that column comparing A.J. Dillon to future Hall of Famers is just remarkable. We'll talk about that coming up next. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. If you missed the Mark Murphy interview, just hit rewind on that radio.com app that you have on your phone. If you don't have it on your phone, go get it. Or you can always go to John Paul Buick's GMC Fan on Demand at 1057fmthefan.com. You can listen to the Mark Murphy interview there as well. Dan Plucker, our executive producer, will have that up here before 6 o'clock, and you can go back and listen to it that way too. Or you can just stay tuned, 5:35. We'll play back the Mark Murphy interview for you coming up here in a couple of hours. Again, thanks to him for coming on the show. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to have Matt Schneidman on, who is with The Athletic, of course. Wrote a piece on A.J. Dillon and just how good some people around the league think he could be, the Packers' a rookie running back. So we'll talk to him a little bit about that and get his thoughts on some of the comments made by Aaron Jones, and that'll be our 4 o'clock topic. Do you think Aaron Jones should play the rest of his career in Green Bay? That comes up at 4 o'clock, but I only got a few minutes here, so I just got to quickly tell you guys the story here. So over the weekend, while I was gone, I had made the determination that I wanted to get a new phone, because as you both know, my phone sucks. And has
sucked. Did you get
an iPhone? See, that's everybody wants to know. Did you finally break down and go to the dark side and get the iPhone?
Did you get an iPhone?
No, I did not get the iPhone.
Well, why are you telling us about that?
I did not get the iPhone. I did get a new phone, but I did not get an iPhone. I did not do that. No. No, I did not.
You stay with the Droid?
I did stay with the Droid, but I did not.
Why are you doing that?
But I did not. I did not.
I just ask you, why? Why?
Because I've seen the iPhone thing. The iPhones all slow down just in time for the next iPhone to come out. And then they slow down for the next iPhone to come out. Ah, to heck with it. They're just, y'all, a bunch of suckers buying those damn phones. Huh?
Didn't you just say your phone sucked?
Yeah, my phone was a 5. They're on the 20 now, Leroy. My phone is lasting longer than most of your iPhones will ever last. But either way,
No.
Go ahead and finish your story.
No, but upgrade it, man. And finish your story.
Most of these phones are upgrades because they have better cameras. And if you're not into taking a bunch of pictures and videos, there's just not that much difference. There's just not.
There is a difference. And all your coworkers all have iPhones, and we all communicate together.
No, they all don't have iPhones. No.
What was me, Steve? Well, Steve, no. Me, Leroy, Pluck. Right?
Oh, on this show, you're talking about on the big show.
Yeah. The people who you talk to the most.
There are some, yes.
I know you're in a different segment of, you know, of the intercom. You may talk to other people outside of us, but
right
here, everyday people show stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all connected.
Yeah.
Well, you're not really connected, but.
Right. No. So I went a different way. And I, to be honest with you, the one phone that I wanted.
Yeah.
I couldn't get because my phone carrier doesn't support it because it's not very big in this country or whatever. So you had to use a different phone carrier. So I wasn't willing to switch phone carriers. So I was heartbroken to find out I couldn't buy that one. So then that was whatever day that was, Saturday, I think. I found that up. So then Saturday night, I went to study and try to figure out what other type of phone I want. So then I decided maybe the Pixel phone would be a good idea. I started looking at the Pixel phones. So then I go into the store on Sunday after doing some research on the Pixel phone, and the lady goes, "Yeah, we've had some complaints about those. I just don't know, you know. I mean, you can if you want, but you know, look at some of these other phones that we have." And she's pitching the iPhone, she's pitching the Samsung, and all this other stuff. And I was like, "Man, 2 days in a row." So I left, didn't get a phone. Go back. I start doing more research at night, trying to figure out what I want to do or if I want to do anything. Mind you, this is the third Samsung 5 that I've had. I ruined the first two. One time I went into the water at Noah's Ark and destroyed the phone. Lost all my baby pictures from Jack after he was born and the video and everything else.
So if you had an iPhone, it would be in your cloud. Continue.
Well, it would have been on my Google Photos had I been smart enough to back it up to Google Photos at that point. But no. Why do that? Why put stuff on the internet? I was against that back then because I was an idiot. So I finally decided, okay, so I went back in there the following Monday, and I decided that I was going to get, and did get, the LG V60 is what I ended up with. Now, The reason I wanted it was because I wanted, it's a dual screen. So it's, you can get two screens. So essentially, I can watch two different games at one time, or I can have Twitter up on one screen. I can have up an article on the bottom screen. So like if we're on remote at a location or whatever else, I can have two things going at one time on my phone. If I'm at, you know, the 13-year-old's baseball game, I can have, if, because we could be in a situation where the Brewers and Bucks are both playing at the same time, I could be watching both games at one time on my phone. So to me, that just made a lot of sense. So I go and I'm like, okay, I'm going to get this phone. So I tell them I want the phone. Okay, sounds good. Here it is. I go, okay, where's the second screen? Well, no, we don't have the second screen. What do you mean you don't have the second screen? Well, no, they haven't shipped to the stores yet. We don't have the second screen. I said, you got to be kidding me. Oh, no, you have to buy that separately. So then I email LG and I was like, hey, can I get the second screen? Oh, yeah, you can go on the site and you can order the case. I'm like, no, I want the second screen itself. I want the second screen. That's what I need. No response. So I don't know. I guess I'll call customer service now. If anybody has an LG V60 and they actually have the second screen, like they show on the internet, like they show on their website, and you actually have one, please explain to me how you got it, because I can't seem to find the second screen, which is the main reason why I bought the phone. But I did realize that this phone is way better than the 5 that I had, Leroy. It's way, way better. Yeah, it's come a long ways.
Pandemic, and you should just went and got the iPhone 11, cuz, and been home and saved time.
Let's go to the next.
You doing all that for nothing?
Okay,
man.
Hold
what
on.
With you?
I got an iPhone story for you too.
Oh, so I know what it is. You and your girl playing, and you have to get the phone she gave you.
Hold on. No.
Just say that.
No. She's got Samsung. So hold on. So that was Monday. Okay. So I get the phone. We're all set. Okay. So then we get the oldest, the 15-year-old, a kayak. Because he wanted to go fishing on his kayak up in these small little like ponds and lakes up in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. Okay, fine. So we get him a fishing kayak, Pelican kayak. The first day he goes fishing a couple of lakes, including the one that her mom is on, and real nice. And then he goes and fishes in a different one on Tuesday. And it's sunny where we are, and he's like 10 minutes away. I drop him off in his kayak to go fishing. I go back to get him a little bit later on, and he hadn't been responding to text messages, to find out that apparently a thunderstorm hit and his phone couldn't get out because it was roaming and roaming and roaming and roaming, and decided to walk into town to try and get better signal, so he wasn't roaming, still roaming. And then they wanted him to buy a roaming PIN number and show me. He called it and said, look, a roaming PIN number. So we did some research, and to find out that these old phones don't do as well as the new phones when you're in the middle of nowhere with not a lot of cell tower frequency, that actually is a thing. And he had some old decrepit iPhone from, according to the cell phone store guy, that was probably 6 or 7 years old or something like that. So he wanted a new phone because he didn't want to be stuck. So what was the phone before the L? Is that the XR? Is that an iPhone?
L? What?
No, before the 11.
Well, the XR now.
The XR, right?
There's
an
X and an XR.
XR, right.
Yeah.
So what we ended up doing was we ended up getting both of them, him and his brother, iPhone XRs. And because we switched plans, we got them each of the iPhones XRs for only $8 a month, which I thought was pretty good. And they have upgraded iPhones. See, so I'm not a complete iPhone snob. I allowed them in the family. Both the kids get iPhone XRs, and it's a more updated thing, so they have better cell coverage and so forth when we're out in the middle of nowhere, Wisconsin. So that all works out. And I'm still waiting to try and find out how to get a second screen for the phone that I bought, that I still don't know. And if you go look up the reviews on the LG V60, you'll find, Leroy, that it is a pretty good phone.
Listen, you can find reviews for anything, okay? So as long as you're happy.
I'll be happy when I get the second screen. But I got to figure out how to get the second screen. Nobody can seemingly give me any information.
I bet you by next year you're going to have an iPhone.
No chance.
No chance. Because it's the way he is. It's just a matter of principle. Wherever he got going on, he ain't doing it.
No, he will.
Thank you, Gary. Gary knows me very well.
He'll stand on that, man. He'll stand on that all day long.
You will see. Why?
No, he won't.
He's going to bow his head.
That phone, you know what? He'll go through 5 LGs, blow up, and then go back to something else before he go to an iPhone. Just
call. He'll be back.
We'll find out. All right, coming up next, Matt Schneidman. He'll join us and talk about the piece he wrote on A.J. Dillon. You're not going to want to miss this. Next on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, inventor of the Lambeau Leap. Award number 36, number one in your hearts, Leroy Butler. Joining us now on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he is Matt Schneidman. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Schneidman. Wrote a great piece on A.J. Dillon we will get to momentarily. But first, Matt, I want to get your thoughts on Aaron Jones saying, you know, he wants to be a Packers for a Packer football player for life and so forth. Last year of his deal, similar to that of Jamal Williams, there had been some rumblings and talk of a possible extension for Aaron Jones. If he wants to be here, and if the Packers want him, why do you think there hasn't been an extension done to this point?
I think it's natural in the NFL, especially with running backs, for teams to realize it may not be worth it to pay a guy like Aaron Jones as much as he's worth. I mean, you look at the top five paid running backs in the NFL, Christian McCaffrey, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Ezekiel Elliott, and Derrick Henry, not in that order. Those are the only five making five digits per year above $10 million. Aaron Jones would probably, if they get a deal done before the season, be worth being the third or fourth highest paid running back in the league. I mean, he led the league in total touchdowns last year, playoffs included. I know he didn't have the yardage that Henry and McCaffrey did, and he probably won't get Ezekiel Elliott money, but he's probably worth between $11 and $13 million a year. And while both sides are obviously interested in a long-term marriage, per se, I just don't know how realistic that is. And I think that's evidenced by the guy you mentioned and the guy we're about to talk about is drafting A.J. Dillon. Like I've said before, I think that's as much a safety valve for 2021 because your first two running backs are entering free agency as it is a number three option for this season.
Yeah, right. And I do agree with you. I think that now it's – you look at Aaron Rodgers and the whole situation with Jordan Love. I think that puts them in a positive situation with Aaron Rodgers as far as contract and money. I think if you look at A.J. Dillon, that puts them in a positive situation as far as Aaron Jones is concerned. I mean, they've got David Bakhtiari coming up. They've got Corey Linsley coming up. I mean, they've got a number of players that's coming up that's looking for big money. I mean, Devontae Adams maybe in a couple of years. So I think you're right. The running back position is not what it used to be, and a lot of these guys are not making that big money. And Aaron Jones does have a history of getting hurt. So last year was pretty good. Didn't happen. But that is on that there's history of being injured a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this coming season is huge for that. Same reason it is for Kevin King. This league, obviously, as you guys know, is what have you done for me lately? And Kevin King and Aaron Jones played really well last year. But those are two guys who could not stay healthy their first couple years in the league on a consistent basis, and now they're both in contract years. And I think both of those guys are guys that could be out the door in a year's time if they can't stay healthy, because obviously, as cliche as it is, the best ability is availability. And I think mostly with Aaron Jones, more so than Kevin King, showing that he can not only produce at the level he did last year, but stay healthy again, especially at the position he plays, will go a long way in determining how much effort the Packers put into re-signing him.
Yeah, I think that when they took A.J. Dillon, the first thing in my head popped up, they put Aaron Jones in the same category as the other Aaron. He won't finish his career with the Green Bay Packers, so they may have to trade him. So because – to me, if you draft a kid in the second round, you want to play him. Aaron Jones may not fit what they want to do. He's a spread running back type. They want a big. They want somebody who can hammer the ball, or they want a committee like in San Francisco. But my question is, I think we maybe. I don't want to set A.J. Dillon up to fail, because if he don't live up to these expectations, people are going to call him on this show. People are going to call him a bust because he's not compared to some of these people. So I'd like to just step back and just give the kid a chance to grow.
I totally agree. I think that it's kind of the same thing with Rashawn Gary. I mean, it's unfair to call him a bust just based on where he was picked. The Packers, you know, used the number 12 overall pick in 2019 on a guy they had number 4 on their depth chart at outside linebacker behind the Smiths and Kyler Fackrell. It's not fair to call him a bust when the organization didn't put him in a position to contribute right away. That's just maybe a misguided draft pick at best. And the same goes for A.J. Dillon. Most running backs taken in the second round will probably, you know, be a starter or a backup right away. And it's not fair to call him a bust if he doesn't contribute this year. Here's a question I have for you guys. Do you think maybe this draft pick was made more with the future of Jamal Williams in mind than Aaron Jones? Maybe the Packers are dead set on extending Jones. Jamal Williams, obviously, a free agent after this season as well, obviously not talked about as much as Jones. But what are the chances you guys think they say, okay, we're going to do everything we can to keep Aaron Jones, regardless of how much it costs. We're letting Jamal Williams go because, you know, I personally think that Jamal Williams could get starters money somewhere else, and A.J. Dillon is going to be our number 2 back next year and possibly even this year if he earns those snaps over Jamal.
What do you say, Leroy?
I'll go first, Gary. I think that the same thing I look at with Tim Boyle. How do you make him is it going to be a 3-quarterback system and put Love third and let Bill Boyle be your backup when you move the running back? The reason why I would be a little squeamish to let Jamal go, he's the best guy to protect if you're going to throw the football. And the coach has said they're 23rd in explosion plays, so they want to throw the football. But when you're talking about protecting a quarterback, he was the best. So if you remove him from the situation and one of these, A.J. or Aaron, can't protect Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have an issue there. What do you think, Garrett?
Well, I think the Packers put themselves in a great position. I don't think they have to make that decision. I think they're in. I think what they want to do is they want to be like the San Francisco 49ers. They want to have a number of running backs that can contribute. And I think all these guys can play a role. But I think what ends up happening, if Aaron Jones didn't get hurt, I think that would diminish his value. And then maybe Jamal Williams comes in and plays a little bit more. I think Jamal Williams is the third back. If you start Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, and I think it's Jamal Williams. So I think he's the third back. So I think the Packers are in a positive situation as far as concerned. They can just let this thing play out and see what running back does what. I think Jamal Williams is good. I don't know if he's a starter in this league that is a every down back. But most certainly I think he can play a long time in this league. I just don't see that talent there. But I think from the Packers standpoint, they're just in a great spot. I mean, they covered themselves up with Jordan Love, with A.J. Dillon. I think they're in a good situation. Even with the tight end situation, they covered themselves up. They got like 30 tight ends over there. So, I mean, they're good there. I mean, so I think they're with the eye towards – I think this draft, to me, was a eye toward the future as far as who are we going to pay and who we're not going to pay and just kind of let it play out. And also maybe a change in philosophy on how they want to proceed down the line.
Talking with Matt Schneidman here on the Wendy's Big Show here on The Fan. He wrote a great piece on A.J. Dillon. Some of the names being thrown around in that piece, Matt, comparisons to A.J. Dillon of what he might be and so forth, let me a little squirmish. I mean, you're talking about some possible Hall of Fame running backs that he's being compared to.
Yeah, I think any time, and I realize that any time I talk to a bunch of former coaches like this, they're not going to say, oh, he reminds me of this NFL bust or something like
sure.
that. I understand that. So I understand it may come across as, you know, we need to take this with a grain of salt, but just physical abilities, he pretty much has things that not have. And Paul Dukauskas, who coached him in high school, played from 2001 to 2000 for the Browns. Went up against, obviously didn't defend them, but, you know, he saw.
Oh, Matt, your cell phone's breaking up, buddy. Cell phone started breaking up.
Me?
I don't know if you can get to better. Yeah, let's try it again. Go ahead.
So I was just saying, you know, his high school coach who played in the league for a couple years said, you know, he reminds me of Eddie George and Jerome Bettis, as I saw up close. You know, Mike Owen, the Packers scout who's watched him the past couple years, said his physical abilities remind me of Saquon Barkley in terms of. You know, guys like Tyrone Wheatley and Ron Dane and Eddie Lacy, obviously they didn't have as much success in the NFL. But the spurts, the explosiveness, the size, those are traits that I kept hearing in terms of this is a guy who is 6 feet, 247 pounds, runs a 4.5, and he'll plow you over. And he's got the speed, the break speed too. So I think, well, yeah, he might be a second, third string running back, and guys like Ron and Eddie Lacy and Tyrone Wheatley are the greatest comparison if you're a Packers fan. I think the physical skill set, the foundation that he has, is something that has to at least entice the fan base.
He is Matt Schneidman. Check out all of his great work. Follow him on Twitter at Matt Schneidman. Matt, thanks so much for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You betcha. Take care. There is Matt Schneidman here on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. As your passion outgrown your home, the Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935. We turn our attention to Aaron Jones. We just talked to Matt Schneidman about. Do you think Aaron Jones is going to play the rest of his career in Green Bay? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM. The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.